Welcome to Fright School. Are you ready? Class is in session.
Season's greetings, Fright School. Yes, it's another Ghoultide season. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Joshua. Season's greetings to you.
Thank you, and to you, under his eye, and all the things.
And also with you.
Yes. Blessed be thy
fruit. We come to this place for magic.
Yes. Speaking of magic, speaking of gifts, speaking of the joy of Christmas.
Speaking of blonde women in a movie theater.
Yes, exactly. Welcome back to our final girl, Ashley.
Hi, Spooky Yulemas.
Spooky Yulemas. I like that. Look
I love
at this.
That. That's cute. Hexmas.
Yeah.
There's so many. That's the joy of, like, horror taking over every space.
You could put a pun on anything.
Yes.
You can. Just,
Even
just
Christmas.
Pop a pun on it. Just yes. Pop a pun on it. I love it. How are you doing, Ashley? We'll start with you and ignore Joe. We'll just pretend he's not even sitting here.
Like normal.
Normal behavior, right?
I think Joshua talks to me only because he pretends I'm a mirror.
It's probably true.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm fantastic. It's lovely to be back live in the, what is it called? The West Craven Memorial Library. I got speech fright. It's overwhelming in here.
It has grown bigger, I think.
It's definitely been expanded, redecorated.
There's a lot of stuff. I'm looking behind me. There's way more things behind me now.
Yeah. I love it. No, and the vibes are great. We were trying to figure out what the last time I recorded live with you guys. It's all been virtual for years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the most part, I think.
I think it might have been Midsommar. That would
Shit.
Have been 2019.
Yeah, July, the year of the earthquake during Midsommar.
Yes.
Shall we change the light?
Oh, we're setting the mood.
Oh, setting the Should mood. You know, the thing about this library is that, like, I have to stop myself from buying things for
him. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Because I'm like, oh, this would go great in the library. But I'm also like, no, don't spend my money.
If there's not a dedicated spot for the thing already, which you're running out of room.
See, but I know there's one thing that I saw that I was like, he would make.
Make room.
He would make room for this.
See, then there you go. If it sparks joy, you there can you keep go. It.
Yes.
Yeah, it is a little out of control. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's a reflection of your mind.
Yeah. Well, I always keep in mind, like, a bunch of these books and stuff are going to be moved out of here, like, and into my therapy office when I do that.
So your forever office?
Yeah, so, even my, like, practicum office. I'm probably going to move some of these out. That way I can, like, pretend, you know, like, oh, look, I have all this more space.
Yeah. And pretend to be a scholar in your professional life.
Exactly. Yes. I want my, you know, people to know, like, I read. And they're going to read, too, because I'm definitely going to be a bibliotherapist. But that's a whole other thing. And we don't need to talk about
it. I love
that
for you.
God.
Yeah.
Talk about...
It's evidence-based, motherfuckers. So get out of here. Anyways, what else has been going on? I feel like,
what if their trauma is attached to reading? Exposure therapy.
Then I won't do that.
Okay.
Exposure therapy. Read this book. What has been going on? So much stuff. I feel like every time we come on here anymore, it's to talk about somebody who's died.
God, are we going to bring up?
Get morbid.
Yeah, we have to talk a little bit because I've talked so much about, like, Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac and stuff on the show over the years. So, of course, we have to talk a little bit about Christine McVie. I'm like, legitimately been, like, heartbroken. And I'm not a huge Christine McVie fan. I've been pretty open about that in the past. Like, you know, if Christine doesn't come to the show, fine. As long as Stevie's
God,
there.
You have said that.
I know. That's been sort of my mantra. However,
wow, you did it. That was
some
you.
Of the most, like, there's no denying that, like, some of their biggest hits, like, she wrote, like, Don't Stop, you know, everybody loves that fucking song, and Songbird is a gorgeous, beautiful song. So many of the, like, Fleetwood Mac's, like, really beautiful songs are Christine McVie, and it's just kind of sad to think that, you know, she's not gonna, I'm not gonna see her again, just when I've come to really value her. See, what a fucking asshole.
When Well, first of all, I think maybe that's good that it's good for other bands that if you let your like certain members are on the periphery, like maybe if as soon as you come to value who they are, that's when they kick it. So don't.
Oh gosh, that's awful.
I was so in kind of revisiting the catalog. There are some of my favorite Fleetwood songs are Christine McVie songs.
Yeah, you text me. Yeah,
I was just like, I've been like, you make loving fun.
Yes, that's a good one.
Which I had no idea it was a Fleetwood Mac song for a long time. It was really? Just like my parents had this like 70s like hit like basically 70s yacht rock hits, and mm-hmm. My mom loves that song.
My mom too.
Songbird I love.
That song, You Make Love and Fun, is so funny to me because somebody posted something like, you know, RIP to like, you know, the songstress and the, you know, beautiful voice, blah, blah, all these things. And then she was like, and the piece of Fleetwood Mac. And I'm like, girl, do you not know the story behind You Make Love and Fun, where she's on stage with her fucking husband or ex-husband or whatever, talking about fucking the lighting guys? Or the lighting guy.
Like, is that what that's about?
Yeah, I believe that's
the drama.
Yeah, she started dating like their lighting director or something, and like was exactly. You make love and fun while her husband's over there playing the
song. Yeah,
he's like, I guess I gotta do
slap in the face a little
like,
bit.
That is like Stevie Nicks level of like drama with mm-hmm. her like singing songs about how much she hates Lindsay at his face.
You make love and fun, though.
But it just made me laugh because girl, like, yes, she left the band for a long time because she just didn't, you know, like traveling and all the touring and all that stuff. It's, you know, it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Acting like she was like, maybe she was the least messy, but it's that's like saying this is the least messy shelf in this whole room. Just to bring it back to the chaos that's reigning in here. But I was just like, oh, she was messy too. They were all messy, and we love them for that.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Well, you've played some of the. I remember that one time you were playing like old concert footage of them, and they just looked coked out. Like they all.
Oh, yeah, from the Mirage tour. Yeah. Yeah. They all look.
I think it was. Stevie doing Rhiannon, and they're all like
Sisters on the Moon is the one where they're really
huge eyes, like
flying saucer pupils.
Oh yeah, yes.
Dilated.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So just to fact check myself, Christine McVie was having an affair with the band's lighting director, and to avoid flare ups, she told John McVie, her then husband and fellow band member, that the song was about her dog.
She loves her dog that much?
Loves her dog so much, makes her believe in magic and all kinds of things.
I sympathize with that sentiment.
Does your dog make loving fun?
I love my dog. I don't need to go down that road about
it. You make love and fun.
I'm going to play that for Lucille when I get home and see how she responds.
Yes, please.
Yes, Lucille is your new little doggy.
My new little baby.
Sophie went to be in the non-physical realm.
Yes. I think Sophie's still very much alive in this little girl's heart. She has a lot of similarities, though she's much larger than Sophie was. Yes. They have a similar.
Sophie was a dachshund.
Yeah. She was my 14-year-old wiener dog.
No, she was the most precious thing.
She was a precious little baby. And she passed away in May. So after, the chaos of my job's busy season, and moving, I moved apartments last month.
Your whole life, you just.
I've changed a lot of things recently. Now I added to the little fur family, and she's very cute. She's been in my life for 1 week. I'm very happy about it.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is so sweet.
Yeah, that's my world. A lot of change, but it's all very, very good.
Good.
Very good.
That's good. It's good to hear.
It's peaceful.
It's a holiday 2022 meal.
Actually peaceful, not actually like peaceful. Fucking the lighting
Fleetwood
designer.
Mac.
Yeah, not Fleetwood Mac peaceful.
exactly. So, RIP, Christine McVie. I did want to at least give a little.
She was a talent. But she was messy, but we still love her.
From the mess came wonderful artistry.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. 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 You know, the music we live our lives.
But is it Everywhere?
Everywhere is also one of her songs, which I love, Little Lies, which I think is still their biggest hit in the UK. So she wrote that. And I'm pretty sure, I think Don't Stop was one of the ones that she wrote as well. Yeah, I think I already fact checked that the other day because I was about to go off on somebody on Twitter. Because, like, they're, you know, like, they post about it, and then there's all these, like, men, obviously, all men, arguing over the songs that they were like, no, Lindsay wrote all these. And they're like, oh, he did? So he was so nice that he didn't put his, like, name on the writing credits. Mm-hmm. You fuckwad.
Yes, all men.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and, you know, that's kind of been the cool thing about, like, you know, this, that, you know, obviously. Sucks that she's gone. It happened so fast, too. You know, I mean, she got sick because Stevie Nicks published a really beautiful little tribute. And, you know, it was like, I mean, we just heard, like, she was sick, you know, a few days ago. And now she's gone, you know. Yeah. So it's like it moved so quickly. But all of this footage is coming up of, like, old interviews of them and, like, just showing how badass they always were. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, especially in the face of, you know, misogyny in the music community, which is still... I went to a little cool house concert with Jackie Vinson a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. who's this, like, fantastic guitarist. And we got to talking. She's a Black woman guitarist. And
wasn't she on the island?
Yes. Yeah. And she had done one of the cruises. And now I'm just totally addicted to her. She's such a cool musician. So, and such a sweet person. But we got to talking. It was really interesting to me because she said, in her opinion, misogyny is a lot more the problem than her race. She says, like, I mean, she's like, it plays a part in misogynoir and all of that, but she talked a lot about how, no, the industry is still extremely misogynist. And with somebody like her, I mean, if you get a chance, like, check her out, because, like, just the way she plays, like, nobody, it's just beyond, you know? And it's like, why isn't she more famous? Especially for men who do similar things to what she does. Mm-hmm. And if you ask me, even she does it even better. So, it was just interesting to see that we're, you know, like, back then, like, still answering those kinds of questions and those sorts of, like, you know, what's it like to be a girl in a rock band? It's like, it's called Fleetwood Mac. So, like, it's named after me. So it's my fucking band, motherfuckers. With her and John, obviously, since she's married to him. But, you know, it's just stupid. All these sorts of conversations, as if people write or play music with their vaginas. Maybe they do. That'd be quite a...
We both looked at Ashley at the same time. It was unintentional, though. Okay. It was unintentional.
That was unintentional. Because you're not.
Don't tell the men we do play music with our vaginas. Yes. This is its insider secret.
If the men find out we can shapeshift, they'll tell the church.
That's it. That's, I think, called vagina cantata, right?
Like, right.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
Do you play any instruments?
Oh, no. Okay. No, not super musical. I'm an appreciator.
There we go. A consumer of
Music. Yes.
Her body is her instrument.
All right. Well, let's see. What else is going on? Oh, well, this is fun, I guess, we can talk about on the show. And with Ashley here, this is kind of even, like, special.
All right,
it's
sure.
Special.
I have no idea what he's going to say.
I don't know what's on the agenda for this.
We'll see if it's truly fun.
No, but this is, I thought it'd be fun. We can make our official announcement, a lovely holiday miracle. I don't know what to call it. Because we've been talking about it for months.
It's a Christmas miracle.
But now it's officially happening. Mm-hmm. But we are very proud and very, very, very happy to officially join the Geekscape Network. With all of...
Yes. Oh, yeah.
With a whole bunch of people that we freaking adore. And, of course, Matt Kelly, they're ever hardworking. Does he even have... He should be, like, you
the
know...
The podfather,
big
I think is what we call him.
You know, yeah. of the podcasting arm of Geekscape. And, obviously, they do all kinds of really cool stuff. Video, just everything in the geekdom. You know, a few weeks ago, I did a panel for them with the X-Men animated series. Mm-hmm. Joe, you've done...
I did over the summer. I did a little YouTube thing about the OC, which may be coming soon to Geekscape. Something else. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
A little teaser, little Easter egg,
teasers. But yeah, I'm extremely excited. It's been something we've been sitting on for a while. That only the
only the closest, the nearest, and the dearest
have known about. But we've been working and planning and plotting to make it. to launch it, because it's a lot, you know, to move, you know.
We're moving all our 200-something episodes over and the logistics of joining them, but we're really excited to do it, and it'll be official in January, but we just want you all to know that it's coming.
Yes.
And to you can start checking out Geekscape stuff.
Yes, please. I'm going to have all of their information in the show notes as always.
In fact, we're doing something with Geekscape this Friday.
We are. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Joe, you're just getting right ahead of me. You know, I love it. let me pull that up too, just to make sure I have all the correct information. Hold on. Talk amongst yourselves.
A dog. You have a dog.
Yes.
Have you always had dogs?
Yeah, for the most part. We had cats also. Had a dog as a wee tot. And we grew up with cats. I got Sophie, like I said, she was 14, so my early adulthood was my dog the whole time.
Nice.
Yeah, but my sister's had dogs for a long time too. So we expanded our little pack. My sister just adopted another dog.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom adopted a dog over the summer at some point too. So we have like cute little family of pooches.
Nice.
Yeah, we all went to the dog park yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah, she's the biggest one. And she's the only girl right now too in the family.
Oh, shit. Okay.
She did a really good job.
Good.
Yeah.
Handling it.
Yes.
I love
it. She's adapting to the family well. I think she'll be a good fit.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. All right. Here, I found the information that I needed.
Okay.
Joe's getting ahead of me. But anyway, so yes, as part of our, you know, we're joining the Geekscape Network, and the Geekscape is hosting their third annual Geekscape Holiday Live Stream Spectacular. Live Streamtacular. That's what it says.
Live Streamtacular.
I love it. It's an all-day event this Friday, December 9th. Literally all day.
Wow.
It runs.
24 hours of
it. Midnight to midnight to midnight. They do this every year. This is the third annual. They raise money for Big Brothers Big Sisters of Coastal and Northern New Jersey. So it's a really cool charity live stream.
Nice.
There's live music, podcasts, sketch comedy, so much more. And Joe and I will be joining them at 8 p.m. Eastern. So is that 5 p.m.
Pacific Standard?
Yes. Pacific.
So 5 p.m., 8 p.m. Eastern for Christmas. 365 presents a Charlie Brown Christmas script reading. Our friends the Jersey Ghouls are going to be there. The Femme Regard podcast, who we've promoted on the show before. And yes, Joe and I, we're going to be just script reading our little hearts out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But there's all kinds of other really cool stuff. Actually, one of the really neat things that I love right after the Charlie Brown script reading, our friend Kyle, who's been on the show before, who's one of the new hosts of Horror Movie Night, his short film, The Woodsman, which we discussed a little bit on our show, they're going to show it during the live stream.
That is very exciting.
It's super exciting. I can't wait to see it. He told us a little bit about it, so I'm very, very excited. There's all kinds of really cool stuff. So we'll post a link to that in the show notes as well. And you should definitely think about joining us.
Rad stuff. I'm going to put a little reminder in my calendar.
It's always fun. Like, I love doing their live streams. Like, sometimes they just host things that are kind of open so people drop in throughout the day. This is much more structured. There's lots of,
time slots.
You know, plans throughout the day. You know, we saw a little bit of a preview of some of the musicians that like are doing music in between, you know, the segments. So it's super fun and really well organized. And Matt just goes over.
Yeah. What a feat of organization that must be.
Yeah.
Good for them though. I hope that it turns out really successful for you guys.
I hope so too. It's, again, it's always a lot of fun. So, all right. Yay. Look at that. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
That's all.
That's all you get.
Yeah.
Are you watching any non-holiday things? I know that's your usual thing the last couple years has been to also watch like non-horror.
Oh, non-horror holidays.
Non-horror holiday things.
Oh, yes. Mm. Well, we got a couple things on the docket, but I don't want to talk too much about it because if you're one of our Patreon subscribers, you'll get to
see
two Christmassy movies, but don't
puzzled.
Don't want to give
bemused
totally away. Right. So we have that. I haven't put together a lineup yet for my official Christmas watching. I'm working on the scary Christmas stuff right now. What I'm going to show during that. I'm looking forward to watching Scrooged again because I haven't, you know, that was one of my new ones like 2 years ago, maybe.
Nice.
But I watch it on regular Christmas Day, but I'm moving it into the scary Christmas mix because it kind of, I feel it's kind of
it's a ghost story.
Yeah, it's kind of quirky that
there are a few ghouls.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know what else. There's a few things I've seen, I've been glancing at on like the Netflix and stuff. I may just do like a, yeah, whatever I fall into kind of deal. I kind of want to watch that, what is it, National Lampoon's Christmas thing. I've never seen that.
You've, Christmas Vacation?
Yes. I might try to watch that this year. I know Jeffrey likes that one, and especially given, you know, Beverly D'Angelo popping up in the film we're going to discuss in the next segment. I thought that might be really appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be appropriate.
Yeah.
I watched... I've watched a couple things already.
She's in it.
Yeah, well, I saw some, I have friends that I saw on Thanksgiving, and their Thanksgiving tradition is that they always end the night with Christmas Vacation.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So I was able to stay for a little bit of Christmas Vacation. I've already watched, I watched Christmas With You on Netflix, which is the... Netflix movie that was co-written by Michael Verratti.
Oh, very cool.
Which was so much fun. It was, it's also kind of a musical. So there's songs in it and
musical break.
There's musical break. There's a great scene where the two main characters are falling in love, making tamales. Like nice. it's just yes, it's
Christmas
really
Christmas and You. What's it called?
Christmas With You.
With You.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you watch Marry Me with J-Lo?
Yeah.
It's kind of like what I wanted Marry Me to be.
All right.
It's more fun than that.
Okay. More fun.
It's more fun than that. So I recommend it. Like also, Freddie Prinze Jr. is heavily leaning in to his, like, you know, Latinx identity, which I love. That.
Okay.
A little Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yes, yes.
Like, what about you, Miss Ashley? Any holiday watching started?
No, not really.
Today.
Right.
We started the season with this film. No, I mean, usually on Thanksgiving, I do watch the Thanksgiving episodes of Friends and Gossip Girl. So that started me on a whole Gossip Girl little spiral.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to try to watch all of it, which is a lot. Right now. But no, I just been focusing on the dog. She takes up a lot of mental capacity in the last week that I've had her. But
well, you know, still learning each other.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, I guess I started the season with my little Thanksgiving viewing of those holiday episodes. And then usually, like, I'll let a Friends episode play through, and then the next one's always Christmas after Thanksgiving. So I guess that's a little bit festive.
What's your favorite Friends Thanksgiving episode? I don't even know
which one it is.
For background, Ashley and I have competed many times in Friends trivia.
Yeah.
And we've actually placed, I think the highest we've ever gotten is second place.
Yeah.
So we know a lot about Friends. Shut up, Joshua.
We
know
a lot of losers. Like room full of losers.
I mean, I am the weakest link usually on the team. But
like, no. There's stuff that you know.
I get some random things in there. That.
But like, I think my favorite Friends Thanksgiving episode is, it's always a toss-up between the one with the football.
Yeah.
Or the one where Brad Pitt shows up.
That was going to be mine, the Brad Pitt special. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he hates Rachel.
Yeah. And at the time, they're married.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
While they taped it. Yeah.
While they taped it.
So then, funny to watch.
Yeah.
I love it. That's not true. I've not really seen any Friends. Why don't they call it Friendsgiving episodes? Is that where that comes from?
I'm pretty sure it comes from Friends.
Yeah. I don't know. Actually,
it's giving Friends.
It's giving Friends.
Giving Friends.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's also giving the end of this first part of the episode.
It's giving commercial break.
Yes.
So we will be right back to discuss Violent Night.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey...
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in
horror. We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, ugh, the practical effects. And also the male gaze?
My gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
All right, welcome back. So, yes, we are kicking off Scary Cryptmas 2022, Ghoultide, Holiday Horror, whatever. With a decidedly not really a horror film, despite expectations, Violent Night. So just came out. We're like fresh. You know, mm-hmm. This is like as fresh as it gets. It was just out like what, Friday? Just a couple days ago.
Yeah. Super fresh. So spoilers pending.
Spoilers abound.
Yes.
Yes. It was released December 2nd.
I mean, I don't know if you could pick up what the movie's about, but, you know, and by watching the trailer, but spoilers abound, folks.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, for sure. Anyways, yeah, came out December 2nd, and today is December 5th, of course. We've got, Christmas action comedy film. I feel like we could throw in, like, horror comedy-ish. I'll give it that.
It was, like, dark, gory comedy.
Yeah.
But it wasn't spooky.
No, it wasn't really meant to be frightening, no. I don't think. So we got
it's
David.
It's more horrific. It's more horror than The Abyss.
There we go. So
concede.
I'm not going to concede to that.
What are the classifications for horror? No, listen, we cannot,
that people could go back to the first episode.
Yeah, okay. Well, there was blood, there was death.
Yes, there was blood
and
death.
There was somebody killing more than one person.
Yeah, yes. Well, we'll get into it, y'all. So let's get through the first part of this. So we've got David Harbour, John Leguizamo, Cam, somebody.
Was it James from...
James from Twilight.
James from Twilight.
Beverly D'Angelo, just serving. I just love everything about her, and I'm going to quit my whole life to become her.
She had us cackling.
Yeah. So it is about... David Harbour plays the real Santa Claus with magic, who's apparently become a violent alcoholic.
Yes.
And a former...
Disenchanted with Christmas.
Berserker, Viking something or other, who's now Santa Claus, and he fights mercenaries who have taken a wealthy family hostage in their home. We've got Tommy Wirkola on direction, written by Pat Casey and Josh Miller, obviously while they were both on acid. So, Joe, what did you think?
I loved it.
Yay!
I
loved it.
I will watch this every year.
Yeah.
This is a fun movie. I also love a like ultra violent comedy movie, action comedy. So I'm all about it.
Yeah.
I loved it. Period.
Yay. Yeah.
Point blank.
I love that. That makes me happy. Again, it's not really a horror film, so I'm not adding that to the that's not going up on the board.
We're not counting it toward the total.
Yeah, we're not counting for the, you know, the five movies Joe will watch again of the 200 we've done. Ashley, what did you think? I know it's more than five. But.
I didn't know what to expect. I didn't watch any trailers or anything. Just saw the poster and I was like, hey, that's Hopper. He looks like Santa Claus. So, sure. Yeah, I'll join you guys on a little Fright School field trip. Yeah. Let's chat about it. So, having no expectations for the movie, I enjoyed. I laughed. I stayed awake, which is a feat in itself these days.
There we go. Look at that.
But yeah, I don't know if it's, I wouldn't consider it horror. Yeah. It's like a subgenre in there somewhere.
Yeah.
It's a dark comedy.
Yeah. I definitely would show it. I will definitely watch this again. It was delightful. I thought it was very, very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's mean. There's a lot of mean humor in it, mm-hmm. which is delightful at the holidays, you know. I would show it on Scary Christmas, I think. Like, yeah. I think it would fit in as a good choice that's not too horrific for people that don't want to watch Inside or, you know, some other.
I think you're right.
You know, I think it fits.
I would put it in there, you know, just because it is fun. It is super gory. And mm-hmm. I feel like they've got to do like a director's cut, because in watching it, especially in the beginning, some of the horror sequences or the gore sequences, they didn't really show much.
Yeah.
As it went on, it got a little more gory towards the end. They definitely saved. Like, what was this actually rated?
I think it's rated R. Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's rated R.
Okay. Mm. Well, that surprised, because it felt like maybe they were like trying to avoid too much like gore throughout, but I'm sure they'll release like a director's cut with a lot more gore, because it looked like they probably filmed stuff, but maybe just
tamed
it a little,
clipped it.
Mm-hmm. But that's not to say there's plenty of gore. I mean, a nail goes through someone's fucking chin and out his mouth. That was delightful.
Yes, it's a much gorier Home Alone. But the home full of people.
Yeah, I would say I feel like this definitely, it gives me like Home Alone vibes. Mm-hmm. It gives me Krampus a little bit, with sort of that like the family drama of it all, with actual magic involved. Mm-hmm. So it's giving me those. And what I imagine people who like will fight tooth and nail that like Die Hard is a Christmas movie. I feel like it has to give that. I've not seen Die Hard, so I can't speak to it.
It's giving, but I imagine hella Die Hard.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, right. With like the heist and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which that excites. I love a heist movie.
Mm. Yes, so exactly. I love a heist movie.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to watch this Die Hard movie some year, but you know, I love a good heist. Although this one was, you know, wasn't like it was gone. There was no money.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Yeah. The money's not.
Twist. Who took the money?
Yes. It's a mystery now, too.
It is. Yeah. It's like doing a lot again.
It's also like it's heavily referencing other horror, right? Like the nail through the chin was like one of my favorite moments. I think that references Hot Fuzz. Anyone watch Hot Fuzz?
Mm-mm.
Timothy Dalton's character in the Model Village like gets the spire of their church like in his chin like that. Like, it's just so cool.
There were a lot of things in some of the kills that were horror iconic like things. So I was going to ask you guys, like, did you have a favorite kill? Or not enough time to process yet?
The last one, that was pretty great. Like, he used Christmas magic to
basically go through the chimney and
go up the chimney with the guy. Yeah. That was fun. That was very bloody, gory, gross.
Mm.
I really like, there's a sequence where he like turned on some kind, I don't know what that was, like a thresher or a,
he was like a wood chipper.
I think it was a wood chipper, yeah.
Okay. I thought those things you loaded in the front. Regardless, it was like on, and it like, you know,
or maybe it's a snowplow.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe we're too California to recognize a snowplow.
I don't know what it was.
I think that would be a little bit more on brand for all the
it
other
was on the
other,
bottom. Yeah,
and yeah, all the other kills kind of had something to do with like winter or Christmas time.
Yeah,
festive things.
Yeah, yeah. But when that guy gets sucked into that was pretty gross and, mm-hmm. gory and like very gory, and was like giving me the horror vibes that you kind of want. Mm-hmm. Like again, like Santa Claus, the real Santa Claus in this film is like a fucking like crazy serial killer in a way. Like, mm-hmm. I can like,
he's a killer instinct.
Yes, you know, like doing all these like kills that are very Michael Myers, very artsy, very like, you know, with that, and then of course is like Hammer of Doom, and he's like, you know, sledgehammer crushing people's
I know, I was like, so is Santa Chernabog? Like,
right?
Is like that Thor? Does the lore cross over there?
Yes,
maybe.
Well, because he had his hair pulled back.
Yeah, Santa Claus had a man bun.
Exactly.
I really liked the ice skate sequence.
When the
he puts it into the wall and it decapitates the guy.
Yeah.
That
kind of reminded me of 13 Ghosts.
Yeah.
With the sliding door.
Yeah. It reminded me of Wrong Turn as well. There's in one of those movies, there's a really good kill like that where the girl gets it on the tree and then it like backs away and her bottom half slides down.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, it's delightful.
Yeah. And then the icicle too. I don't know if that was my favorite, but it was really cool to look at the guy impaled on the icicle.
Yeah.
Yes, that was cool. And then when she stabbed somebody with the icicle later, kind of reminding me of Black Christmas with like the unicorn horn. Yes. You know, it was kind of serving that.
When there's a shot there where like Santa like reveals the hammer, like he like swings it out and it's very Silent Night Deadly Night, right? It's just it works. It all works so much.
It was well done, I think.
Yeah,
I think overall it was really fun. It was very it knew what it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of aware and winking a little bit. And then there was all the terrible puns about, you know, like, I'm coming to town. And
so many Christmas puns.
The best. And Josh Miller, he did one of the installments in Into the Dark, Hulu's Into the Dark series. So he has a horror sensibility about him.
I wonder which one.
He did School Spirit, School Days, 2009.
Oh, there it is. Yep.
Yeah. He's more famous right now because he's writing the Sonic the Hedgehog movies.
Oh boy, can't wait for that one.
Yeah.
There's already like two of them, I think.
Yeah, the next one's gonna have Idris Elba as Knuckles. It's gonna be really great.
What a name to get. Look for at me. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
Look at me.
I was going through one of the streaming services the other day and I saw that part two was already available just to watch like on whatever streamer it was, whether it was Hulu or Netflix or something. And I was like, there already are two of those on streaming. It blows my mind. I feel like they were just talking about the first one, making fun of it. Like, I didn't even realize it ever came out.
Oh, yeah, because they released the trailer and then they went back and it was weird. The fans had lots to say about
Sonic. I remember the whole conversation. And then in that Rescue Rangers movie on Disney, they had the ugly Sonic as a character. Like the original design.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's like signing pictures and stuff. Because it's also very super meta, very Roger Rabbit, you know, they're all. Did you watch that, the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers one?
No.
I recommend it. I know, shocking. This is like shocked me. I couldn't believe it when I watched it. Do you like Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Loved it. If you love that, I think you will enjoy it. You should definitely check it out.
I never would have done it if he didn't recommend it to me.
I was like, let's just watch it. It's just dumb. It's on Disney Plus, and it's paying for it. So
I've never seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit. We've had this conversation.
You'll love it.
Yeah, it's it's very, very good.
Yeah.
I love it. But yeah, we were just like, well, let's watch this Chip and Dale's movie. And then we both, like, after it was over, I was like, that was good. Like, it was fun. Stupid. Stupid and fun. So,
all right.
You know. Waste a couple hours on it. It's worth it. Anyways, so what were we talking about? Violent Night?
Violent Night, yes.
So again, the problem is that I thought this was a horror movie until like 20 minutes before you picked me up to go to it. When I looked it up and then saw that it was being described as an action comedy. And I was like, uh-oh. This might really miss the mark. So overall, I mean, again, I think that like there's lots of gore in it. It's very bloody, but it's like it really skirts that horror comedy line. Because I mean, again, existential horror. You're a family at Christmas. Yeah. You know, we expect Christmas to be a wonderful holiday.
It's home invasion.
Yeah. And Santa Claus is a homicidal vigilante.
Yeah. And all, I mean, the people they're threatening, you know, children. Somebody should have shot that teenage boy. I was so over him.
I really thought he was going to get it.
I thought they were just going to shoot him outright. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that, or when he had his hand up, I'm like, at least blow a hole through his hand so he can't do any more of this, you know,
tweeting, live streaming,
whatever it is.
Yeah.
TikTok.
God, this Logan Paul wannabe.
Gen Z TikToker.
Yes.
So awful.
He did a good job, though. In making us hate him.
Yeah.
Yes. No, for sure. There's
the sister-in-law, too.
Yeah.
Or the sister. That. I don't know. Yeah.
Sister.
Yeah,
yes.
The sister. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully, dear listener, you've gone to watch this film, so you're not, we're not totally spoiling it. But, yeah, it's a super, super rich family. I don't really understand what they were in exactly, like what their deal was. Although she was paying, like, the government was giving money to like Beverly or military something.
So my understanding of it is that the Lightstone family, which is the corporation,
it's like Goldwater. Or something.
It's kind of like it feels like Blackwater. which I think you're thinking Barry Goldwater.
Yeah.
Blackwater. Blackwater, which was a, like, you know, private firm, but it was like a private security firm. It was basically like private military.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So it says, over the course of the night, it is revealed that Mr. Scrooge, that's John Leguizamo, being delightful. I love him.
I love him so much.
Oh, yeah. Such a anything. Good casting there.
So Mr. Scrooge is after $300 million given to the Lightstone Company to funnel oil into the Middle East.
Oh, wow. I didn't get any of that.
But was stolen. The money was stolen by Gertrude. That's the Beverly D'Angelo character. And kept in the mansion's vault. I'm not sure. I don't think it was to funnel oil.
No, it's to ensure that the oil kept flowing to the United States.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
so giving money to whoever will make sure that happens. So lots of illegal, you know.
Yeah. It also like hints that she's probably like profiteering from combat, right? Because a little bit of war profiteering, a little Colonel Mustard action from Clue going on there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she has that whole thing where she's having this like awful conversation on
with
the phone,
a senator,
and then it turns out to be a senator, but she's saying all kinds of terrible things to them,
threatening things.
If she's able to do that, like mm-hmm. she's obviously a very rich.
Yeah, and she has her own kill squad.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is it? Don't shit in my mouth and tell me it's chocolate.
Yeah. So many good lines.
Chocolate cake or something. Yeah. She had a lot of good lines. That's one thing. It's like, I want to see that again.
Just to commit the lines to memory.
But I also hope, what I really hope is, have you seen that YouTube video where Meryl Streep is saying all kinds of different lines about the coffee in Devil Wears Prada?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so she comes in. I think the actual movie is like, you know, like, where is she with my coffee? Did she die or something? But she had a whole bunch of other lines. Like, did she have to go to, like, you know, Columbia, some country to get the beans? Did she, you know, she just has all these, you know, terrible lines that she, like, and I just hope somewhere there's, like, 10 takes of that, which is all kinds of horrible.
And it's just her riffing.
Just her riffing. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm hoping that exists.
Yeah.
Because she's walking in and out of the scene on the phone. And just every time she comes in, it just says something really horrible.
Right.
In front of the children. There's like a little girl in this movie, obviously, because it's a Christmas
The sweet film, little so girl.
There has to be a sweet little girl whose grandmother mm-hmm. is like, you know, fuck you and fuck this and fuck that.
It's like my favorite granddaughter.
She's got an interesting vocabulary, Grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like this movie a lot. I can't wait for Violent Night 2 because if it does well, it will do another one.
Yeah. Well, I just think Santa Claus, he was like so endearing, but also very violent. Like he did such a good job. Like he cares so much about the kids and he'd been so jaded by all the greed and selfishness that he sees, and that this little girl saved him because she was so sweet, and he just warmed his heart, and he had to kill everybody to protect her.
I gotta say the one of the moments that I believe that like was but was also just like really cheesy was when Mr. Scrooge, John Leguizamo's character, takes Santa's magic sack and throws it in the fire. Mm. Yeah. And then he's like, that's filled with children's dreams. I was like, oh God, Christmas is over. Christmas is ruined.
Christmas ends tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fucking delightful. Yeah. Again, that was one of those moments I was like, oh, this movie knows what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Knows what it's saying.
It's so, and that's the other thing too. It's like, we're not even trying it, like, it's not trying to be, it knows what it is.
Yeah.
Like, it knows its identity. It's camp for that reason.
Yeah.
I hope in Violent Night 2, we get Tim Allen. Like, that would be amazing because he actually played Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some sort of, we get some other, like, iconic Christmas movie person to come in. Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, you know, just someone to come in and be like,
make it more meta.
Well, hopefully, super. But let's not give any more money to Tim Allen. Fuck that guy. But, I did try to, like, get a message in there that I feel it's very Christmas horror, especially, always has like that kind of morality play. I mean, obviously, all horror has it, but this one really.
But it's highlighted at Christmas, like
particularly in these kinds of movies with like, you know, the greed and the consumption. But I actually was like, I mean, it was thoughtful in that moment where he's talking about like, you know, as soon as people open something, they want the next thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, so like there was a nice comment on like consumerism, like killing Santa Claus. I'm like, this is delightful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
but it's his own, like, it's his own jadedness with the holiday and, like, I love the, because it just was also too real, right? Like, him going to the different houses before he gets to the Lightstone house and, like, sent the Christmas wish list is, like, cash, 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 video games. Like, and when he's, like, looking through his Christmas bag and he's like, does anyone want a sword or a bat? And he's like, video game, video game, video game. And it's also, so I didn't mention this in the first segment, but I did start watching, speaking of Tim Allen, the Santa Clauses on Disney Plus, which is basically a series.
You're part of the problem.
Apparently.
You're why Tim Allen keeps getting hired.
I mean, I just put it on, okay? Like, his character, Scott Calvin, from the Santa Claus, you know, 94, 93, mm-hmm. 95.
That's where he accidentally kills Santa Claus and has to become him.
And becomes him,
I remember that.
So in the new series, he officially retires as Santa Claus and has to go find a new one, has to go find a new Santa Claus, who ends up being Cal Penn, which is really great. But Cal Penn is this, like... he's a tech billionaire that runs kind of like an Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what if like
mass produced Christmas? Yeah.
What if like Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg ran the North Pole, right? And they're not even being subtle about it because like the name of the company is called Everything Now,
mm-hmm.
and it's like blue, like it's Amazon blue, it's all of that stuff. But why I bring this up is because it's interesting to have, I just get caught up on that show and then to watch this and the messages are like the same, right? Mm-hmm. It's the consumerism of it all.
Is it a show and not a new film?
It's a series.
Oh.
Yeah. But it's like each episode's like a half hour. I don't know how many they're going to be, but,
right.
But it's fun. It's nostalgia.
Yeah.
They brought back a lot of the same actors from the earlier films too, which is really cool.
I only saw the first one when it came out, so I haven't seen it.
That's all you really need to see. Yeah. The other ones are kind of garbage.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm definitely not going to watch those.
The first two are not bad, and then they go like straight to DVD from there.
Yes. But yeah, so like the message of the consumerism. And it talks a little bit, like, in the Santa Clauses, it talks up. He starts to lose his magic because he's becoming disenchanted with the job.
He stops believing in himself.
Yeah, he stops believing in himself and believing, like, whether or not he even wants to do the job anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it was interesting to kind of see that also kind of play out in Violent Night.
Right.
Yeah, it speaks to cultural consciousness around these things. I mean, we're you know, having these sorts of conversations and, you know, rampant over consumerism and, you know, there is a limit to profit. There is a limit to, you know, how much stuff can, you know, make us happy. Yeah, I think we're going to see that. I mean, that's kind of been in a lot of things, obviously, in this time of year always brings out this conversation, but for it to be sort of mirrored in these two new properties.
Do you know what's interesting, though, is that they had, like, literal Amazon boxes under one of the Christmas trees.
Yeah.
So, like, did they get, you know, sponsor money or product placement money to be able to use Amazon's logo in the movie?
Probably.
So what does that even say?
At least a few hundred thou, maybe.
No, there's probably somebody paid somebody somewhere something.
Yeah.
Although they were Amazon boxes.
Yeah.
You could see the smile, but you couldn't. I didn't see Amazon written anywhere, but like.
But it was obviously like what they were because they weren't even wrapped. And I see people that do that. They
just
have
give
the
you
box.
The Amazon box. Yeah.
Ugh, it's so
true. Or you pay Amazon to wrap it for you.
I at least do that. I do that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're shipping directly to someone, that's not there. Like,
nice.
It's paid convenience.
So are we saying that this is the year that, like, Santa Claus quiet quits? Is that what... Is that what this is?
There definitely seemed to be a vibe about that, although I hate quiet quitting, that whole thing. We have to stop using that term, especially the labor class. But we can't get off onto this conversation here right now.
Thanks for bringing it up, though.
The more people use it, the more I'm like, stop saying it.
But having good boundaries.
Having good boundaries. I'm doing the job I'm paid to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cannot more, let them define less. That. As
this
like...
seems more like a penance. Like, that's the other thing. And I'm curious to know if there's any, like, folklore about this kind of conception of Santa Claus as a former warrior, because right. it seems that it's like a penance for him to make, like, to
bring joy and peace on Earth.
Yeah,
they'll definitely, if it gets a sequel, I think we'll get more of that.
Yeah, that was really interesting to bring in some of the, like, Nordic lore, maybe. Yeah.
And when he took off his shirt, like, my God.
Viking tattoos and stuff.
Such a hot lumberjack.
I know. I do love me some David Hopper. My God, just wrap me up in those arms.
Yeah, with the man bun. Yeah.
He kind of makes it work.
Yeah, I know. I'm totally saying, yeah. It was hot.
Well, he was also hot.
Santa
remember
Zaddy.
Remember Black Widow? Now, Ashley and I are Marvel friends. We see almost
Marvel
all...
and Friends friends.
Yes, we're Marvel and Friends friends. So when he was, what is it? Red, what was his name? Red Guardian.
Yeah,
right?
Something.
He looked good in that too. I'm like, oh, yes.
He's a fine man.
I like him.
Yeah. And in season, what are we in now? Stranger Things?
Where four.
He was like a little bit more gaunt from being a prisoner of war and everything. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, shaved head Hopper is all right too.
Yes. They're all, it's all good. This is a David Harbour Stan account now.
Hey, you're in very, very good company with people who think he is a David Harbour is hot. I wanted to call him Hopper again. Because Harbour.
So
Harbour
close.
Hopper.
I know. It's too close.
He was on one of the shows, one of the, you know,
talk show
things with, you know, some, you know, SNL person.
Joshua doesn't remember because they're all hosted by men.
Yeah, they're all the same. They all look exactly the same.
Yeah,
anyway,
except Trevor Noah.
Does he host a night show now?
He hosts the Daily Show.
Oh. I guess I don't think about that as
it's like a news drama.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking like CBS, NBC.
Oh, you
see,
like
you're
the celebrity
like
talk show.
Late night talk shows.
Got
but anyways,
it.
Point
got
is, he was on one of those, I think promoting this film. Obviously, that makes the most sense. And he said that he had gotten like this mysterious invite to audition for a film because the director thought he was hot. Thought he was sexy. That's what it was. Thought he was sexy. And then it turned out to be Madonna.
Oh, yes. I heard about this.
So you're in very good company. Look at that. You know?
Yeah. He's a hot lumberjack.
Yes. Joshua brought it back to Madonna.
Yeah.
Although I did look over at Ashley.
6 degrees of Madonna.
Zing one for Madonna.
Well, there's a scene where, like, you know, basically Trudy, who's the young girl, our Kevin McAllister, as it were, and she's like, you know, make your own wish and make it come true. Use the Christmas magic to make your own wish. And he's like, I want to see Mrs. Claus again. And when that happened, I was like, fuck. I was kind of hoping that
Mrs. Claus
she would come in at the end with the sleigh and like, you know, fuck someone up. And I looked at Ashley and I was like, man, if it's Winona Ryder, I'm gonna fucking love this movie forever.
Well, they could still do that.
They could.
I would have been very happy.
If the writers and directors are listening Violent Night 2, get Winona.
Just start tweeting now. Just tweet everybody.
It's like Winona Ryder for Mrs. Claus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't unsee it, right? Like, you can't unsee her as Mrs. Claus.
That would be
Claus,
so cute.
But...
Yeah. And then she, like, kills somebody with the other hammer.
Yeah. You know what it should be? Sherry Moon Zombie. Let's get her to do it.
Well, then she'll have to play all the characters in the movie.
Yes.
And that just, you know, it just doesn't seem fair.
to the rest of the cast.
Yeah, to the
rest
of the cast.
Which is also her.
Something else I enjoy about this movie is, like, I feel like a lot of, like... iconic.
Sorry, I just had a. I'm sorry. I had a better idea, a better casting choice.
Joe just exploded in his joy.
I wish she could have seen that.
I just had a better casting choice. Jennifer Tilly.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Jennifer Tilly
as
Mrs. Claus, but like a violent Mrs. Claus,
right? With that like sweet voice, and then she's just like fucking
Santa.
I love it.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. You totally derailed me, and I can't remember what I was gonna say. Oh, I do remember now. You brought up Jennifer Tilly, which obviously my brain's always gonna immediately like, oh, I love her. She's so wonderful. Mm-hmm. I love her Twitter. Anyways, and I mean Twitter, not something else.
Don't put
not,
that on
not
me.
Not her music
that
maker.
Was you.
I'm totally kidding. Right, exactly. not her music maker. No, but I feel like it's very iconic in a lot of like Christmassy movies, especially in like the 80s, to have like the drunk guy, like the drunk dad, or somebody's like an alcoholic. So I enjoy like them making Santa that character.
Drunk uncle.
Just fucking drunk uncle, exactly. Fucked up, drinking so much. Oh, that... the way the movie opens is like him getting drunk in a bar, like thinking he's going to like quit doing this because, you know, fuck these kids. Which is the right attitude to have, quite frankly.
Yeah. And grateful little shits.
Fuck Christmas, children. But yeah, I love he like rides away and it's like supposed to be this magical moment where this like lovely bartender, you know, sees him with the reindeer like, oh, wow, he is real. And then he vomits all over.
I called that. I was like, he's going to vomit on her. He's going to vomit on her.
That was...
It was gross.
Gross, and also I was like, okay,
this is where we're going.
I might enjoy this film.
You laughed a lot.
I did.
Yeah, there's cackling.
There's some really mean ass moments in it that I just enjoy.
Yes, I enjoyed sitting between.
What was the Jean-Claude Van? What does she call him?
Jean-Claude Van Dickwad something. Oh man, yeah.
Damn
it's
it. And I couldn't take notes in the theater, but I wish I had. Because there were so many good insults. That's the other thing. It was like Veep. Like, there's some really good insults that you're like, oh, fuck, I need to remember that.
There'll be a BuzzFeed article about the best one-liners in this movie.
Jean-Claude Van Dipshit. That's what
yes. Jean-Claude Van Dipshit over
like,
there.
That's great. Plus just all the other, like, Beverly D'Angelo really added a lot to the movie. And made it, she was just, like, delightful to me. So, of course, I was, like, laughing. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be her when I get older.
Yeah.
Older-er, I should say.
Yeah. You know. In your ancient days.
In my ancient, yes. My ancient days. Okay. Well, I was ill-prepared to really discuss this movie after watching it and realizing it wasn't really horror.
I knew that this was not going to be a horror movie, but I was like, we're still going to go watch this.
But we could have watched it at another time, Joe. That's the thing. It's like we're wasting our dear listeners' time.
Are we?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think it was a waste of time.
Thank you. Ashley, as a dear listener, was it a waste of time?
I can't wait to re-listen to myself talk.
Right.
We had plenty of stuff to talk about.
I know.
You had to pick out your favorite kills. That's a horror movie.
There we go. Hey, I like it.
Where were the kills in the abyss?
Hey, those aliens, you know, driving people crazy.
It's existential.
Yeah. Much like this, there's existential horror in this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you try to have a tense dinner with your wealthy relatives and see.
Horrifying.
See
if I had wealthy relatives, I would not. I don't think I'd be here doing this. No, if I had
an ass to get the money.
See, that's the thing too, is that it's so blatant that like it makes me uncomfortable. Like, we get it. You are all like gold digger type people. And I'm like, but that makes me so uncomfortable when it's so blatant.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have like, you know, like Ugly Betty, like Wilhelmina is not a gold digger, but you know, she can't help out. Landing the hot man and, you know, getting his money as a result of that. Like,
I know nothing about Ugly Betty.
I have no idea what he's talking about. So I was looking to you to bridge that one, but
no,
couldn't.
Sorry.
It's okay. Well, dear listeners, yes. Highly recommend this movie. It was super fun. Perfect addition to your scary Christmas lineup in the sense that there's lots of blood and gore. It's mystical in moments. You know.
Santa fucks people up in this.
Yes.
If nothing else, watch it to watch Santa fuck up some people.
To watch David Harbour.
And take his robe off.
Yeah.
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 Be sexy Santa Claus. Do you have, like, might as well if we're already down this road, do you have a Santa fetish? I know that's a thing. People like Santa Claus.
No, I can't say that I did before this movie.
The beginning of one.
Right. She's going to be home later, like, laying in bed thinking, like,
ooh.
Santa, baby.
Yeah.
where's that Twitter thread?
Yes.
I think as a member of Bigger America, as a fat person, it's always
Bigger America.
I've never said that before.
I don't think you've said that.
I don't think you've said it on the show.
As a member of Bigger America, I feel like This is always a weird time for us because, like, either we're being asked to be Santa, and then immediately come January 1st, we're told that we're garbage monsters who need to, like, you know,
New Year's resolution.
Exactly. Yeah. Health and wellness means that we need to, like, eradicate half our body, right? So, so I feel like I have definitely played Santa in a school play. Which, like, it's fine. I'm a gay kid. I love the spotlight. So, of course, I wanted to be Santa.
You're jolly.
Yes. Oh, God. I think I've told this story on this podcast before. I was at a farmer's market, and I saw a friend from high school. And she was like, it's so good to see you. She's like, you're just still Jolly Joe. And I'm like, bitch, did you just call me fat? Like, anyway.
It sounds like it to me.
I think there are people who like... I think there are chubby chaser guys who like older men with beards for that reason. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. No. I've never experienced it. When I'm not like an older white man with a full beard, so can't grow that.
There we go. I think Blanche had a Santa fetish on The Golden Girls.
Maybe.
I think that's a thing. I think that's a joke on that show.
Most of the people who like have fetishized me think I'm like, you know, My Neighbor Totoro or, you know, Snorlax.
I see.
from Pokemon.
Oh, okay.
This took a turn. What about you, Joshua?
How have people fetishized me?
I mean, this guy, David Harbour's cute. You know, I like a daddy type. You know, that's my jam. Yeah.
Is it like an easy transition from lumberjack kink fetish to like Santa Claus?
Probably.
I don't think I've ever really had a lumberjack kink fetish.
There's no better daddy than Father Christmas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. Ooh. I like him.
Yeah.
You know, hey, if as long as he's a bottom, we'll be good.
I think Santa's verse. I think the hammer swings both ways.
Oh, that's true. Right.
Yeah, you're probably right, but you know.
I mean, again, vampire rules, right? When you live that long, why would you limit your self pleasure? But he has been married to his wife for 1,100 years,
something like that. Yeah, they say in the movie.
In this movie.
Well, this definitely took a really delightful turn here at the end. Yeah. So. We're kicking it off. Look at us. Another lovely holiday season begins. Yes. And we'll be back next week with more...
Scary Christmas.
Holiday fear. Thank you, Ashley, for being here.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Just lovely, lovely to see you.
It's lovely to be here. I'm so glad that I could come back on any time.
Yeah.
Yeah, jumped at the opportunity.
In person.
In person, yeah. So much better to record live, I gotta be honest.
It really is. And Joe, there you are.
And so. There you are.
All right, good night!
Fright School is produced by Joshua Napier and Joe Farron.
Our intro was edited by Davy Boy Productions.
Our logo was designed by Jamie Channel Guzman.
Episodes are edited and engineered by Joe Farron.
Fright School is produced in terrifyingly beautiful San Diego, California. Ha 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 ha!